This is Purple Radio on demand.
Welcome to Purple Sport Uncovered, a brand new series where we discuss the stories behind the sports at Durham. From interviews to investigations to features, we will provide a complete picture of what is going on behind the scenes at one of the sportiest universities in the country. This week I'm joined by Alistair and Abby from DU Floorball to find out more about this rapidly growing sport and how they ensure that they break down barriers to sporting opportunities in so many different ways. Let's get into it.
Nice to meet you. Thanks for coming on the podcast.
It's very nice to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm very excited to find out all about floorball because as most, I'm sure I'll be like most of our listeners here in that I know very little about the sport. So Alistair, do you want to just start us off by telling us what is floorball?
Yeah, I mean, that is a question I get a lot, to be honest. So the first thing I normally say is it's a bit like ice hockey, but without the ice. So if you imagine the pitch is the same size as an ice hockey pitch, the goals are about the same size as ice hockey goals. You get the same number of players on each side. And then in a slightly more finer detail, you're obviously playing on a sports hall floor as opposed to on ice, in trainers. And the sticks are sort of made of plastic and the balls are made of plastic, and they're sort of hollow and very light. And you can pass the ball off the walls. You can go round behind the back of the goals. You can use both sides of the stick. So in a lot of ways, it's very similar to ice hockey. And it's also, you know, quite similar to field hockey naturally. I think that's about a decent enough explanation to get started. But it's
I think that sounds like a very good explanation. And I remember I was telling my friends the other day that I was interviewing you guys, and I took a punch and I said it was like ice hockey without the ice. So I'm very relieved that you said that. Can you just tell me a bit about how DU Floorball got started, how long you've been around for, and how's the sport grown since?
So I'm a third year and I picked up the sport in first year after Freshers' Fair. And by then the club was about 6 months old, I think. So it was founded by a couple of guys who have now graduated, who had both played quite a lot of floorball before university. And they sort of got a bunch of their friends together and they had a bunch of equipment from their pre-university days. And they started up this club and had the first taster sessions in, I think, March of 2021. So it was sort of coming out of lockdown time. And then, obviously, I sort of picked it up in my first year. So it was still very, soon after that started. And then we played, you know, our sort of first matches that year. And since then, you know, the club has kept growing. We've had more and more members. Played more and more games in each season as we've gone on, things are only getting better still.
Sounds brilliant. Are there many universities then across the country who you compete with, or is there only a select few, or is it quite niche?
So we play a range of unis. So in our northern tournament, it's against York and Nottingham, and then we'll go to an Oxford tournament usually and play them and some London teams, and all of them come together for the overall uni league.
And this year there's actually a team that's joined the league from Queen's University Belfast, which is quite exciting. It's the only floorball club in the whole of Ireland, both Republic of Ireland and Northern Ireland, I think, as far as I'm aware. And there are also a couple of other university teams that don't compete in the league. So Aberdeen University have a floorball club, but they just play in the Scottish Club League. And also the University of Central Lancashire recently started a club, which is very new, and they've not entered the league this year, but I'm sure they'll enter it next year. So it's continuing to grow.
More competition.
Yeah. Have you had to go to Belfast yet for an away day? Or
soon.
We've got one coming up. Abby, do you want to talk a bit about what we're going to do for that?
So we'll have a weekend. I'll have to have the weekend away, so we'll fly over to Belfast sometime in March, play games on both Saturday and Sunday, and then fly back home and hopefully with a good result.
Yeah, fingers crossed. It sounds like a nice, fun weekend, bit of sport, bit of exploring a new city as well.
No, I think the Belfast team is going to organise a sort of nice chill social on Saturday evening as well for all the clubs that are going, so that'll be a really fun experience, I hope. We get to play six games of floorball that weekend as well, which is a really cool opportunity. We don't really get to play that many games in a weekend very often.
Four was tiring enough.
Yeah, I can imagine. So how long do the games last then?
So at the really high level, in like the adult leagues around the world, they play three periods of 20 minutes. But at the university level, to make it a bit more accessible so they can squeeze more matches into each match day to sort of reduce the amount of travelling, we play two periods of 15 minutes. And that's also just quite nice for a beginner level, which the University Football League is quite beginner level. Most players won't play before university. It obviously requires slightly less fitness and endurance. And it also means that if there is a particular mismatch between two teams, the scoreline doesn't get too racked up in sense.
Yeah, it sounds very inclusive for everybody and really does just help beginners pick up because, like you said, I imagine most of the people in your team will have started as beginners. How easy is it for them to pick up the sport quickly?
Oh, it's so easy. Most of our team are beginners. I mean, I was only started last year and first year, so you literally give them a stick that fits and just roll with it and see if they enjoy it or not. We just play it for enjoyment most of the time.
Yeah, but how's your season gone so far?
So far,
could be better. I mean, I think so. We played four matches in November, and we picked up a point against Nottingham, which was a really fun game. There's highlights of that on our Instagram page and YouTube channel. And yeah, that was a good 3-3 draw. Came from behind, and then we had a couple of losses against Oxford and York. Things didn't quite go our way, but they're two really strong teams. They've got a lot of experienced players over there. And then we also played London United, which was that club is essentially an amalgamation of a bunch of different London universities. And we fought really hard against them in the first half. It was 1-1 going into half time.
So close.
For context, they've literally been unbeaten the last 2 years. They haven't lost a game in 2 years. So we were doing really well. It was like the atmosphere in the team was fantastic. Everyone was really up for it. And sadly, in the second half, they sort of turned up the heat a bit. And, you know, their skill came good in the end and they beat us. But, you know, there was a lot to work on from that tournament. We went into that with a lot of beginner players. I think over half our squad hadn't played football before this year. And everyone did, you know, superbly. So I think we're in a good position going into the second half of the season, into that Belfast tournament, to try and pick up a few more points and wins. Definitely targeting a few games there that we definitely think we can get a result.
Yeah, and I'm guessing for the Belfast tournament, it would be quite good to play, do you say, six games back-to-back so you can get in the rhythm, you won't have that rust. And I guess it will be a bit of a test for your stamina and endurance, but it will be quite helpful just to be in the zone together and just have that whole weekend just dedicated to floorball a bit.
Yeah, and it should be really good that not even just playing the games, but also the team bonding that we'll get out of it, because we got a lot closer from Eversley, our first tournament. So it'll be good. The beginners won't be as fresh this time. See if they can work on it. But yeah, it should be better this time.
I think that's one thing that I really see that we get out of our sort of competitive tournaments, that everyone always ends
always
the day
improves.
Or weekend so much better as a player, but also so much more together as a team. And it really feels like you create such a great atmosphere on those like away days where, you know, you all travel together. And I think that's probably something that happens in every sport, really, is that, the camaraderie that you end up producing throughout an away day or whatever. It's a really great experience.
Yeah, I can imagine, because a lot of DU sports, you've got such an emphasis on just the competition and everyone's just trying to be the best they can. You can almost get competition within the team. You get people not really enjoying the sport that much, but it really is good to hear that the main thing you get out of the sport is, like you said, camaraderie and everyone sticking together. How good is the social side of floorball?
I'd say, in terms of sort of everyone really enjoying it for what it is and maybe not taking it as seriously as some of the bigger sports. At the end of the day, we are, more of a social sport in that, people pick it up before coming to at university without having played it before, and sort of treat it as a way of, getting to know people and, making more friends. I've met a lot of my really best friends from playing floorball. And yeah, we have some great socials. Our social sec, Pierre, who is in his second year as social sec now, has come up with some really creative ideas. Obviously, we do the sort of classic bar crawls occasionally, but we actually mainly do sort of non-drinking related ones. So, you know, we do the club meals, we've done movie nights, we've done like treasure hunts around Durham. What else? Can you think of anything, Abby?
Dress-up socials.
Yeah.
All of those. But it's really nice to get to know people from different years that you wouldn't normally if you weren't in a club. So your subject, you kind of stay in your little one-year bubble. But it was really nice to get out and find like third-year, fourth-year PhD student friends.
Yeah, because I can imagine a lot of people do just get stuck in bubbles like this. There, you get your subject bubble and then your almost college bubble. So I guess it's just another avenue to meet new people and almost meet a few different people to people you'd normally meet. So I guess, and that means that you get a nice wide range of friends.
Yeah, I mean, I think floorball is a really great sort of cross-section of Durham, actually. I think one of the things that is really sort of striking about our club is quite how international it is, actually. So, I mean, we've had people in the last 3 years from probably over 15 countries, I'd say. You know, at the moment, we've got people, obviously, from the UK. We've got French people. We've got someone from Slovakia, Norway, Finland. We've had people from Sweden, Switzerland, you know, and, you know, beyond Europe as well, Singapore, the USA, stuff like that, Hong Kong. Yeah, it's really cool to, you know, get to sort of meet more people from the international community. So yeah, that's it's really you know, fun to sort of go beyond and yeah, get to meet more people.
Yeah, what's kind of the global scene of floorball at a more professional level?
It's floorball is mainly popular in sort of Scandinavia and Nordic countries, and then also some bits of Central Europe. So the sort of big four countries that get brought up a lot are Sweden, Finland, the Czech Republic, and Switzerland. And those are the four that usually end up getting to the sort of final four in the knockouts of the World Championships, both men and women. Sweden in particular are very good. I think they've just won their 9th women's title in a row. And I think in Sweden and Finland, floorball is much more of a sort of big casual sport, in a similar way to perhaps sports like badminton and football and sort of tennis and stuff over here, where people just play it, you know, in their free time. I've got, you know, friends who live in Sweden who say they often just see people, you know, on trains and stuff with their floorball stick going to, you know, play with their mates or whatever. And yeah, I think whilst the international scene is often dominated by Sweden and sometimes Finland, it is definitely growing. And each year there are more and more competitive matches at the World Championships. And it's expanding as well. I think, you know, it's traditionally been played more in Europe, but Singapore recently hosted the Women's World Championships. And North America floorball is getting quite big there. I think there's recently been a professional league started over in North America. And Africa as well. It's really good to see. The International Floorball Federation is often like showing off how sort of different African countries have started to pick up floorball now. So it's really going global quite quickly. And Australia and New Zealand have got some competitive teams as well.
I didn't even know that.
How's it growing within the UK? Can you see, is it an England team or a GB team?
Yeah, so floorball is still pretty small over here. The UK has a men's and women's national team. But I think a lot of the players in those national teams are people who are currently living abroad, who are, you know, who have picked the sport up in Sweden, or perhaps they've, you know, grown up in Sweden or Finland or whatnot, and just have English parents, and so qualify that way. And I think, you know, the UK Football Federation is trying to, you know, increase the amount of sort of homegrown talent. They're obviously putting a lot of resources into the, you know, home floorball clubs back here. I don't really know a whole lot about that side of things, to be honest.
Well, we can see it in the league that it's growing with the addition of Aberdeen. So
yeah,
I'm sure it'll get bigger now.
Yeah. I think one thing that the UK Football Federation would quite like to do is maybe introduce some sort of development level, because at the moment the English Floorball League, which is for clubs, is quite competitive. I went to one training session for the Cambridge Floorball Club, which is, you know, roughly where I live back home, and that was quite a level above the university league standard, and you know that I was sort of a little bit sort of behind where they all were. And so, you know, in a sense, the university league is a really good development league because it gets people in who haven't played before. But I think the UK Football Federation is looking into maybe introducing something on a club level for more non-students. Although if you are not a student, you can join the university clubs, actually. The league allows, I think, up to 25% of the squad's roster to be non-students. So, you know, if you live in a city that has a university football club, feel free to, you know, go along and give it a try.
This is going to sound like a really cliche job interview question, but where do you see DU Floorball in 5 years' time?
Crikey. I think one thing I was actually saying to Abby just now is maybe just this, the idea of getting floorball to be a bit more of a known quantity. You know, you tell someone you play floorball and they just go, what is that? Like, what is floorball? Whereas, you know, other sort of maybe slightly smaller sports like handball and dodgeball and ultimate frisbee and stuff like that are very much things that people are very much aware of them, even if perhaps, you know, on the professional level they're still, you know, pretty small as well. Not willing to put any of them down in that sense, but I think it's credit to like those sports and how they've really improved their profile in the Durham community and beyond. I don't know, what do you think, Abby?
Yeah, I mean, hopefully the club just keeps growing and we can get more more people confident in just showing up in Freshers' Fair, getting a good amount of people to join. I mean, we did quite well this year, getting more, like, both genders came this time, more of us. It was a good, and we just need to keep doing that, I think.
I think, one target would be good to set is, pretty close to this but not quite there yet, is getting a 50-50 gender split. I think, you know, we're doing fairly well on that front compared to other clubs. I think we had the best split of all the clubs at the most recent tournament, but yeah, I think that would be something really cool. I think we can probably do it, you know, sooner than 5 years, but you know, maybe next year or two it would be cool to see if we can get to sort of 50-50.
Yeah, that would be really good. And so you say you compete as a mixed sport. Are there any particular rules on how many of each gender can play, or any restrictions?
I don't think. On the top level, they split the genders, but at the level we play, it's mixed. I can't remember if there's anything in the actual league rules that says anything about it. But I mean, a couple of the teams at the most recent tournament turned up with only one female player. So
really,
I think we were seven females and nine males, maybe.
Yeah.
Wow, that's quite a disparity.
There's quite a good interview actually on our Instagram page that Abby did, along with the I think one of the players from the London United team about that kind of thing. So if you want to know more about that, then check it out.
Shameless plug there. Yeah. Can't blame you. If I was in your position, I would have done the exact same. But do the other uniclubs recognise it as an issue?
It's quite an intimidating atmosphere to be in if they're all male. And you'd have to be a little bit more confident to just rock up and go. But with us, because we're so diverse, it's less pressure if you're one gender or the other. So I think it's better to have more mixture in the team because nobody feels like they're singled out.
No, I completely agree. We mentioned it on our previous podcast when we were chatting with DU Women in Sports, how they do taster sessions, and one of the taster sessions they did was for floorball. How important was that from your point of view in getting more engagement, especially since you want to have a more even split in genders within the club?
I think it was really nice to do. I mean, I ran the session and it was loads of people who had shown up who I'd whose never been to floorball, and from it a couple people I know have joined as a result of the session. So, no, it was really important for us to be part of the DU Women in Sport and show our support for it and get our club involved.
I think it's such a great society, that the DU Women in Sport, because I think Rosie mentioned it when she was on a few weeks ago, but she said it's, you know, it's a really great opportunity to just do some sort of casual social sport. And, you know, I think that's something that, you know, we quite like about our club as well, is you can kind of join and just do it socially. You don't necessarily have to compete in our league team. You can just come along to training and, you know, don't feel like there's any pressure to...
very chill atmosphere.
Just play it socially.
Yeah, and I think one of the big themes that you keep mentioning on is about how it's so easy to get into floorball and there's so few barriers put up. One of those is the subs, or the lack of subs. Can you just explain to us a bit how that works? Because I believe they still need to pay the Team Durham membership.
Yes, that's right. So over the summer, Team Durham obviously started this new membership. So for those of you who don't know, if you want to join a DU sport now, you pay the £35 Team Durham membership, and then you get access to join any of the Team Durham clubs. Some of those will have their own subs on top of that to help their running costs. We've been lucky enough to have received a small grant from the money generated by the membership, which has meant that we've been able to sort of fund the small equipment costs we have and the small league entry costs we have, and then a little bit of sort of travel subsidy for the matches. And therefore, we're not charging any subs this year. Obviously, that's sort of dependent on this grant. So potentially in the future, if we don't get that, then we might have to introduce some subs again. But, you know, it's just another thing that makes it a lot easier to get into. And it's a lot easier for us as well. It's just one less thing to chase people up on, as opposed to saying, you know, oh, you haven't paid your subs yet, you know, you can't come to training or whatever. It's a lot more relaxed. You just pay your membership and, you know, that's it. You can play as much floorball as you like.
Yeah, and I can imagine if someone's already doing a DU sport, then it will cost them literally nothing extra because they've already got the Team Durham membership.
Yeah, I mean, we've had people come along who play DU volleyball and Gaelic football and dodgeball and stuff like that, who have just come along to like give it a try because they've already paid the Team Durham membership and it's literally free to them. And obviously, you know, it is a bit of a thing of trying to balance your time too much, because, you know, a lot of DU sports are quite time intensive. But yeah, if you're already playing a DU sport, then it's literally free. You don't have to pay anything more. So,
how time intensive is floorball then? How many sessions do you have a week?
So we have 3 sessions a week, Sunday, Tuesday and Thursday. But they're at various times of the day, so might not fit in with people's lectures. But our main one is on Sunday. That's when we get the biggest turnout at 4 till 6. And it's a nice split across the week. So if you can make all 3, it's quite good.
Yeah, I mean, we don't really sort of force people to come midweek because those ones do clash with lectures. But yeah, the Sunday ones are really the ones to try and come to regularly. And that's what we sort of say to people. So yeah, it's quite good because you don't necessarily have to commit all your time to it. And also because the fixtures are sort of squished into 2 or 3 match days each year, that means that you're not going away every weekend and... you know, you're not going away like on Wednesday afternoons each week or whatever, which means you've still got time to do your assignments at the weekend and whatnot. So it's quite nice. You can really throw yourself into it without having to destroy the work-life balance.
A lot of Durham sports have got a big drinking culture tied to their respective sport, and this can really put a lot of people off, and you always get some controversies as well. How are you making sure that this doesn't happen with floorball, because you're still quite in your infancy as a society? Do you feel that the precedent you set now in terms of your drinking on socials and that kind of culture, do you feel you're really trying to emphasise that you're not going to be like those other Durham sports?
Yeah, I mean, our socials are generally pretty chill. I think, the majority of our socials are completely sort of non-drinking related entirely. We do the occasional bar crawl. Of course, drinking is, you know, definitely optional on those. And, you know, we've had people come along and, you know, have a really good time without drinking. And yeah, I think of the people on the team, yeah, pretty much everyone is fairly sensible about it where they do drink anyway.
We just had the slogan of like, no, drinking's optional, but the fun isn't, as a way to try make people not feel pressured into drinking.
And I feel like on the sort of club culture side of things, if we did go too far, we would, you know, put people off, and we're all about trying to get more people involved. And if we lost a huge portion of our members because our club culture was bad, then we would probably cease to exist as a club. So it's in our best interests to sort of keep it accessible. So yeah, I think we just wouldn't, you know, it wouldn't work for us if we tried anything bad like that. But yeah, you're right. It's as, you know, we're only a couple of years old. It's good that I think we're setting the precedent now that this is how we're going to brand ourselves as, you know, a lot more chilled out, and less sort of hard going on the nights out and stuff like that.
Is it too late for a student to get involved in floorball this year?
Definitely not. Just literally come along to any of our training sessions. All of our training sessions are taster sessions, basically. You know, it's very easy to pick up. Once you've sort of been given a stick and had a chance to hit a ball around, you can get involved with all the drills and stuff like that. There's nothing really too advanced or anything like that. And we've had people join really late in the year before. So Ethan, our current club captain, joined at the end of his first year, literally about 2 weeks before we played a set of matches, and he came to those matches and did really well, and, you know, had barely been playing floorball for very long. So yeah, you can come at literally any time, and even if you're like a final year or something like that, we get a lot of people joining in their final year and having a really good time for 1 year, just because you sort of in final year that you shouldn't feel like, oh, I've already wasted my chance. You know, anyone can get involved.
Is there anything else you'd like to chat about? How have you focused on growing the sport within Durham and the Northeast?
So we did a sort of very short kids taster session as part of a school trip that sort of Durham University ran to the sports park here. So I think a local school came down, and they sort of did a tour of the facilities at Maiden Castle, and I think they got to watch some Bucks sports in the afternoon as well. And then as part of that trip, Abby and I ran a little taster session for the kids. The university actually bought a set of kids' sticks, which is really cool. Obviously, that came out of the university's budget as opposed to the floorball club's budget. So that was really cool that they did that for us. And then, you know, obviously that equipment's there now, and we can use that in future if we want to do more stuff like that. And I think the teachers were quite impressed with the sport because they hadn't really heard of it before, and they said, oh, this is, you know, quite good fun. And I think a lot of the students were like, can we play this in PE? So that was really cool that we got to do that. And yeah, we're, you know, excited to hopefully do more stuff like that in the future, I guess.
Yeah, it's good to hear that kids are getting into it at such a young age. So
yeah,
maybe it could
train them up now.
Yeah, maybe in 20, 30 years' time, England or the UK can challenge the likes of Sweden and Finland in the nationals. But
we can hope.
Thanks so much for joining us on the podcast. It's great to find out a lot about floorball.
Thank you very much for having us.
And that concludes this episode of Purple Sport Uncovered. Be sure to follow Purple Radio Sport on Instagram to stay updated, and we'll see you next week.
Purple Radio Podcasts.
Thanks for downloading this Purple Radio podcast. For more great content and to listen live, head to purpleradio.co.uk.